The two blues stay top. The railway men are back on track. West keep up the chase. Spennymoor keeps stuttering. And Ferry Hill fall to defeat at Dearness. That's your headlines for this week's local football show. Welcome again to the local football show, bringing you the results, fixtures and latest news from our local clubs here in Southwest Durham. I'm your host, Archie Mackay, and it's just me this week as my co-host, Pete Sixsmith, having only just joined in the January window, is off this evening enjoying some pre-booked cultural entertainment. However, we will be hearing later from Shildon veteran striker and hat-trick hero, Billy Grulich-Smith, who spoke to Chris Pearce at Shildon AFC TV after the side's win at Sunderland RCA in midweek. But first, let's start with the league leaders, Bishop Auckland, who maintained their lead at the top of the table after adding another 3 points since our last show with victory against Redcar at Heritage Park. The two Blues raced into a 3-goal lead in the game, John Howard, Lewis Johnson and Dean Thixton all scoring in the opening 23 minutes, but the side did conspire to make it a nervy final 10 minutes by allowing the visitors to reduce the lead to 1 goal. Bradley Mills in the 43rd and Adam Boys in the 80th closed the gap, but a stoppage time fourth by Johnson relaxed any nerves. With 15 games remaining in the title race, and with Bishops having lost just once in their first 23, it will surely take nothing less than a calamitous finish to the season now to prevent them from gaining that long-coveted promotion to the next level. The free-scoring side have scored an average of 3 goals a game in their 5 games since the new year. This weekend they travel to Northallerton before hosting West Auckland in the Derby the following weekend. And talking of Shildon, the Railway Men scored 15 goals in their last 2 games. Putting 9 past Towlaw on Saturday, although the doomed Lawyers did manage to claw one back in the first half to stall the home side's momentum, but another 5 after the break did put a small dent in the goal difference, but Bishop are still well ahead in that department too, even after the Railway Men put another 6 past Sunderland RCA in midweek. In Saturday's game, Andre Ardaland scored 2, Joe Postal 2, Billy Grulich-Smith 2, and Ben Ray scored in the 85th minute, while Towlaw actually scored 2 own goals in the game as well as scoring themselves in the 37th minute. But the Lawyers look absolutely doomed with only 1 point in the season so far. On Tuesday evening, Shildon travelled to Sunderland RCA and put 6 past the Sunderland side, who are second bottom. Billy Grulich-Smith notching a popular hat-trick, Alex White scoring, Joe Postal adding another with a penalty, Brad Hurd scoring in the 75th minute, and Andre Ardaland missed a penalty later in the game as well, which could have added a little bit more to the goal difference too. So, let's head over to Shildon AFC TV, where Chris Pearce spoke to man of the match, Billy Grulich-Smith, and this is what Billy had to say.
Well, Billy, congratulations getting the man of the match today, mate. A convincing 6-0 win against Sunderland last year. What were your thoughts on the game today?
Yeah, I think it was professional. We came to do a job. It's similar to Saturday in a way. We just needed to get a good performance in, get the Penrith game out of our heads and set us up for another the rest of the season, basically.
Absolutely. That was a hat-trick for you, mate, in 52 minutes. You were subbed straight after. You didn't seem very happy. You were shaking your head, mate. Was that because the management team thought you were having a poor game, or was it because you did the safer side?
Some of you have to ask Chris, I think. No, I think I felt there was goals in the game. Clearly, we scored another couple afterwards, but obviously, it's a long season. I've probably done my part for the day, and I'm not too bothered, really.
And to be fair, mate, you did take a while to get off the mark this season, but that's 5 in 2 games. We always knew you were going to start scoring, Billy, but were you worried at all?
No. I mean, I haven't really been fully fit, to be honest, most of the season. Obviously, I was away for most of pre-season, yeah. So it took a while to get going, but I felt I was still contributing. We had Posty and Andre scoring plenty of goals. I'm always happy to score, but as long as the team's winning, I'm not really bothered, to be honest. We're all a team and we're all in together, so
it's good to hear. I'm going to ask, would you give Alex a second goal today? We all thought it was an own goal, you know, but...
Like I said, Umis took 17 deflections, but if he wants to claim it, it's up to him. Like, he's got an assist as well, so why not give him a goal as well?
Well, he doesn't score many, does he, so let's be fair. That's 15 goals in the last two games for the team, and to be fair, could have been a lot more. The keeper, Fataulo, had an absolute worldie, and this keeper made a couple of saves again. It surely is a massive confidence boost for yourself, for the strikers and the team coming forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're not getting carried away, though. We know we've played the two bottom teams. No disrespect to them. They are bottom of the leagues. So we expect them to do well. It's good for us, our confidence getting goals, but Wickham's going to be a different test on Saturday. We're going to have to be on our top game to get past them.
Absolutely. And to be fair, made a clean sheet away from home. We haven't, you know, kept a clean sheet for a while. The management team must be happy with that. I'm sure they said something in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I find the lads when we concede goals, so I get less money today, but that's part of the reason why it's one of the fines. We want to all keep clean sheets. I think that's a nice pleasing thing as well. I think we're all a bit disappointed to concede on Saturday, but we managed to keep it clean, and that's the whole team. It's not just the defence, it's not just squads and goals, it's the whole team, so it's a good feeling in there to get a 6-0 win and a clean sheet.
Good, and you brought on us earlier, mate, but we do play Wickham away on Saturday. It's always been a difficult place to go to try and get 3 points. We must be confident, though, surely, after the last two games.
We're confident in every game. We know what we can do, and we've had a bit of a tough period. It's been tough with there not being many games to keep that momentum going. But we know we're confident in our own abilities, so I think we can go there with our heads held high and get a good result.
Absolutely, Billy. Well done for today.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Billy Grealish-Smith there, talking to Chris Pearce after Shildon's 6-0 win away at Sunderland RCA. And you can follow Shildon on YouTube at Shildon AFC TV, where you'll find highlights, goal highlights of all of their matches and post-match interviews throughout the season. Coming up for Shildon, they're travelling away to Wickham at the weekend. And then have a week's break before they take on Carlisle City, who are one of the sides in with a shout of the promotion playoff places. And in fact, as things stand at the moment, they're just outside on goal difference. They're second, third, fourth and fifth would contest the playoffs. Carlisle sit in sixth on the same number of points as Burtley Town, 40 points. But Burtley have a superior goal difference, which is keeping them ahead of Carlisle City at the moment. So it'll be a tough one for Shildon when Carlisle do come to town. I'm sure they'll be looking to try and progress into those playoff spots as well, as well as Shildon obviously trying to maintain their second spot and ensure that when they do get into the playoffs that they're playing at home. Joe Postal's 3 goals over the weekend keeps him top of the Division 1 scoring charts. Andre Ardaland has dropped down to third place in the scoring charts alongside Joshua Scott of West. But amazingly enough, Bishop's Lewis Johnson is only 6th in the goal scoring charts, although Bishop have scored by far the most amount of goals, have the best goal difference, which goes to show out of the 84 goals that they've scored this season that they have been shared around, and that's generally a good sign for any club that's trying to win a title. West Auckland Town, in the meantime, kept up the chase in third, although they were given an early wake-up call by third-bottom Northallerton Town, who took the lead before West bounced back to score 3 times and win that game 3-1 in the end. So our 3 local clubs occupy the top 3 places in the division. Bishop on top with 60 points, Shildon second with 52 points, and West third with 46 points, West having played 1 game more than both Shildon and Bishop, but all 3 of them looking very much like the hot favourites now for not just the automatic promotion spot at the top, but also for the home playoff spots. Bishop certainly look like the hot favourites for the title and are being more confidently billed as the champions-elect, although I'm sure if you went over to the club, they'd be keeping that kind of moniker well away from any of the conversations until things are much more certain. So that's our top 3 clubs in the Northern League, and next we'll have a look at Spennymoor Town. Yes, so as we mentioned last week, Spennymoor Town were heading for Tamworth, top of the league this weekend. So it probably didn't come as very much of a surprise that they did go down to a 2-0 loss. 2-0 possibly, you know, not that bad a result for Spennymoor, even though it was a loss in the end, given the league leaders look very much like the runaway side that are going to, you know, claim that divisional title. So there's no real shame in losing 2-0 to them. Dan Creaney put the hosts in front just before half-time, and then their danger man, Ben Akwai, made the points, save 15 minutes from time to help them to their 10th win in their last 12 outings. As much as the defeat might have been disappointing for the Moors, what will be even more disappointing for them was that their very recent signing, David Moyo, former Hamilton Accies frontman, sustained an injury during the closing stages of the game. He collided with a home defender in injury time, and a trip to hospital subsequently confirmed 3 fractured ribs and a lacerated liver. Moyo joined the Moors on loan from Chorley just last week, and he was discharged from hospital on Wednesday evening and will now return to his parent club for treatment. Graham Lee, Moors boss, said everybody connected with the club is wishing David all the best. His loan deal is due to run for another month, so we'll have to wait and see how he responds to treatment, but it's a blow for us because I thought he did quite well at times on Saturday. The important thing now is that he's in the right hands with the medical people at Chorley, ensuring that he's looked after during his recovery, and we'll keep in contact with them. I did actually once fracture a rib in a game myself, so I know how painful that can be. I think if Moyo's loan spell is to run for another month, the likelihood of him playing again for Spennymoor during that time is pretty slim, I would have thought. The defeat leaves Spennymoor sitting just 3 points off the relegation places, in 19th place in the division on 32 points. King's Lynn are the final team in the 4 relegation spots on 29 points. Spennymoor will be slightly comforted by the fact that they have played a good few games less than the teams around them. They're currently only on 27 games, whereas those around them are on 30, 31. So there's a possibility for them to get a little bit out of there if they can find themselves just any kind of form at all. Coming up for them this weekend are Peterborough Sports, who, as Pete and I discussed last week, must be seen by Spennymoor as an absolute must-win game at the Brewery Field on Saturday. In the previous meeting, Moors took all 3 points when the sides met down at Lincoln Road on the opening month of the campaign, with goals from Danny Greenfield and Will Harris. In this game, Evan Khoury and Mikael Njoli will go straight into contention to make their debuts for the Moors after they join the club on loan from Grimsby Town and Hartlepool United respectively this week. Frontman Glenn Taylor, however, won't be in contention as he continues to recover from a knee injury. If you can't make it along to the Brewery Field on Saturday, the club does have that covered for you with full live commentary of the game available on Durham On Air. Mark Simpson will be live behind the mic from 2:50pm to guide you through the afternoon's action. So make sure you join him to keep up right up to date with the latest on how the Moors are getting on Saturday. Okay, so well, that's Spennymoor's latest result and their forthcoming fixture. We'll move on and find out how Ferry Hill got on after just a quick word about our podcast sponsor. Yes, so we would just like to say thank you to Bishop's Museum Shop, who are the sponsors of our podcast. The shop itself is a celebration of non-league football through the ages here in Southwest Durham. It has a significant collection of Bishop Auckland memorabilia, of course, but also memorabilia from lots of other clubs around, clubs that are with us and clubs that are no longer here. The shop itself is down just on the edge of Bishop Auckland Market Place, And certainly well worth a visit. And in fact, this week they've had the ITV cameras down at the shop doing a tribute to the Munich air disaster and the connection with Bishop Auckland helping Man United out with players just after the that terrible disaster. So ITV were down there. Steve Newcombe and Barry Trey were there to tell them all about the history and the Bishop United play, which is going to be going down to Manchester in May. Many of you, I'm sure, will have seen the play itself being performed in several local venues over the last couple of years. That film will be going out on ITVX on the anniversary of the disaster on the 6th of February. So look out for that on the ITV player channel on your smart TVs, and you'll find Bishop Auckland Football Club and Bishop's Museum shop being very prominently profiled on the ITVX channel on the 6th of February. And yes, once again, thanks very much to Bishop's Museum shop for sponsoring the local football show. Okay, so over we go to Ferry Hill, where Athletic travelled at the weekend to the Bobby Robson Centre in Ushermoor to take on Dearness Valley in the league. And it was a case of a bad day at the office, reported Chris Orton in this week's Ferry Hill and Chiltern chapter. The opponents, he said, were a much tougher proposition than they had faced the previous week when they comfortably knocked Coxwell Athletic out of the Washington Aged People's Trophy. Dearness, on the other hand, were a fast-paced, well-organised side. They attacked from the off and were unlucky not to score early on in the game. Ferry Hill found it difficult to counter the constant attacking, and it was the home side who took the lead with a well-taken finish in the first half. The second half played out in a similar vein. Late in the game, Dearness had their number four sent off to give Ferry Hill a little bit of hope that they might be able to claw something back in the match, but it remained 1-0 when the referee signalled time. It is a little bit of a setback for Athletic, who have ambitions to move up the divisions. It keeps them in fourth place in the first division. Dearness stretch away from them a little bit. They're in third place on 25 points, while Ferry Hill Athletic are on 20 points. Dearness have, however, played two games more than Ferry Hill, so there's certainly a possibility for Ferry Hill to claw that back if they can and move themselves further up into the promotion places. Hitton Juniors, also 5 points ahead of Ferry Hill at the moment in second place, having played the same number of games, 10 games as Ferry Hill. Belmont still top that division on 29 points. But they've played 13 games. They are 3 games ahead of Ferry Hill. That equals 9 points. I think we all agree, really, I think most people agree that points in the bag are the favourable place to be. But if Ferry Hill were to continue their winning form, they could catch up with all three of the teams above them. So there's still very much plenty for Ferry Hill to play for. But one thing that they won't be doing is playing this weekend because their game against New Durham AFC, which was due to take place at Bowman Park, has been called off. The host side's pitch has been deemed unplayable, so there'll be no game there. That leaves them waiting until the following weekend, the 10th of February, before they travel down to Barney Castle, a team they played not so long ago, earlier in January, over in Ferry Hill, and comfortably beat them 4-1. So that's the next game for Ferry Hill, and they've got a bit of a break before they play again. So that rounds up the results from last week, the fixtures for next week for our main clubs here in Southwest Durham. Before we head off this evening, though, we will have a look at some other news from our clubs. Okay, so let's round up some other news coming out of our clubs over the last few weeks. Starting over at Bishop, where the club has announced the appointment of Mark Kennedy as a non-executive director. Club chairman Steve Coulthard welcomed Mark to the board. He said Mark brings a wealth of experience to the club, and his passion for football, combined with his commitment to fostering positive change within local communities, aligns seamlessly with the values and objectives of Bishop Auckland Football Club. Interestingly, Mark is joining the club from afar. He has close ties to Brazil and currently lives in British Columbia in Canada with his wife Sylvia and son Elijah. As a non-executive director, Mark will contribute to the overall governance and strategic direction of the club. His role will involve actively participating in board meetings, providing input into the club's long-term strategic goals, whilst leveraging his global network to open up new opportunities for the club. We look forward to a mutually beneficial collaboration with Mark, said Steve, and we are confident that his addition to the board will enhance the club's capabilities and that his insights and expertise will prove invaluable in steering the club towards sustained success both on and off the pitch. Well, it'll certainly be interesting to see how Bishop Auckland exploit that global network. Okay, so over in Shildon, some news there too, where the club is delighted to announce that they've secured planning permission for the installation of new pitch floodlighting at Dean Street. The current floodlights have been in place since the mid-1980s and are well beyond their expected lifespan. The new floodlights will ensure that the club meets with league requirements, not only now but in the future, with regard to pitch illumination. The club have appointed Direct Sports Lighting for the installation of the floodlights using their Apex Pro LED lights. The scheme is being funded by the Premier League Stadium Fund and the football club itself. Preparatory work will begin this month, with the new floodlights being operational for the start of the 24-25 season. Chairman David Dent said, "I am delighted that Durham County Council has approved our plans for the new floodlights at Dean Street. The new LED lights are much more energy efficient than the old lights and moves the club one step towards being more sustainable. Thank you to the Premier League for their continued support, and we look forward to working with Direct Sports Lighting on the installation." You can find out more news from Shildon Football Club at shildonafc.com. Equally, you can find out more news from Bishop Auckland Football Club at bishopafc.com. Meanwhile, over in Spennymoor, Moors in the community are delighted to announce a partnership with Man Health, a local company providing support for men suffering from depression and other mental and physical health issues. The club will be hosting weekly drop-in sessions at the Brewery Field every Monday evening between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. to play a vital role in supporting male Moors fans and building a healthier community. Luke Cowie, the club's community development manager, said, "This is such an important link-up for us at Moors in the community and the club as a whole. As part of our remit, we want to have a major impact across as many different areas as we can throughout our local community, and targeting this crisis in men's health has long been a priority." Man Health will also be carrying out collections at several of the Moors' home fixtures, not only to give fans a chance to donate, but also to meet and talk with those involved with the organisation and to find out more. Paul Bannister, founder and director of Man's Health, said, "We are delighted to be working with Spennymoor Town FC and Moors in the community in bringing our male peer support group to the Brewery Field. The first group will be hosted at the Brewery Field on Monday, the 5th of February, and all males over the age of 18 are welcome to attend. If you'd like to find out more about Man Health, you can do so at manhealth.org.uk. And of course, you can also head over to spennymoortownfc.co.uk for all the news and match build-ups, match reports, videos and so on from Spennymoor Town Football Club. Okay, so that's the latest news from the clubs. That's, I think, covers pretty much everything that we can cover this week without our co-host here to give us his expertise. But Pete Sixsmith will be back with us next week. We look forward to that. And we look forward to hearing from you all. If you do want to get in touch with the show, you can do so by emailing us at podcast@pitmatic.production. We'd love to hear from you. We're also acutely aware, actually, that we haven't yet had very much to say about our youth or ladies football, but we do have plans to talk about every level of the game in future shows. If you'd like to be part of any of those future shows, again, you can contact us at podcast@pitmatic.productions. Please feel free also to give us a thumbs up on your favourite podcast player. We're on Spotify. We're on all of your favourite podcast providers, as well as our host provider, Podbean. So, yeah, give us a thumbs up. Put some positive comments up there if you like the show. Share links to the show with your friends. And, yes, hope that you continue to listen to the show going forward. And with that, as I say, we'll have Pete Sixsmith back with us next week. But for now, I'm Archie Mackay, signing off. Until next time.